Excuse me.
Just survive.
You know, you look like your head fell in the cheese dip back in 1957. You're okay. This one, real fucking ugly.
It's a gal who doesn't need sunglasses to figure out if something hinky's going on. It's Katrina Porter.
Hi, Anna Serene. Not alien Anna Serene.
I am not.
I know.
Welcome to Split Happens, everyone else.
Welcome, everybody.
Each week, Katrina and I discuss a movie both of us love. However, only one of us gets to say anything good about the episode. They're the pro of the episode, which means the other is the con and must attack it. Our one rule is the con only has to attack during the synopsis, and if they say anything at all good about the movie during that time, they get a penalty and will have to say something good about a movie that they hate, and the pro gets to decide what that movie is. So this week, if Katrina catches a rule break from me, we're going to hear this sound.
I'm in a glass case of emotion!
Nickelodeon.
Do you think you're going to get one?
This week?
Yeah.
No. Maybe.
You know what occurred to me when I was listening to our last episode?
Whoa.
When I got a button push? I think I was supposed to say two.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So next time I get a button push, I'll have to say two.
Okay, that's fair. I forgot.
That was way back from the Dark Crystal episode.
I was pretty drunk this last episode.
To the Frighteners?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I was just tired. I was so tired.
So tired.
I'm not as drunk this time. I'm still a little bit drunk from the last night.
I didn't do that.
No, it was not you.
I wasn't here.
That was not you.
Uh-uh.
That's my friend Mary.
I had nothing to do with it.
I still feel like I'm going to be able to attack this movie, though.
What?
I know. I feel like I'm good.
Well, tell me what you're going to try to do.
I'm not even going to try. I feel confident that I am going to beat the shit out of this movie for 6 minutes until it puts the sunglasses on.
Okay. Well, that's very specific.
Yeah.
Which can only mean we are getting ready to share with the world the gift that is 1988's They Live. Yeah, we are.
Obey.
I have more pre-synopsis trivia than usual. Not a ton.
I wondered how much trivia there would be with this movie.
Not a ton.
Yeah.
No.
That's all right.
Just enough, I think.
It's the perfect amount of trivia.
I would say so.
This movie was a lot of fun to watch.
This movie's hysterical.
I think we had this one on VHS. I remember the cover.
Yeah.
Pretty clearly.
John Carpenter directed this, which he's kind of a badass.
I love John Carpenter.
Yeah.
He's great. Yeah. I think I told you, I almost put him as a happy ending.
Yeah. Wait, before we get into anything about the movie.
Yeah.
We kind of need to give somebody a shout out. Somebody did something like super incredibly nice for us, which was came at such a fortuitous time because things are really crazy right now.
I'm going through some
trials.
Myself
with my job.
You are going through some shit.
And Anna's working a billion hours, and you know, it was very fortuitous.
It made me cry.
Yeah.
It made me do what my kind would consider crying.
You were like, Aw.
Oh, this is
sweet.
Oh. It's almost like, you know how people have like a phantom limb, they can feel something. It's like, that's how it is with my tear ducts. Like I can tell that I would be crying if I hadn't Botoxed my tear ducts.
This was such a sweet thing that Anna and I broke our rule where instead of just texting about it, we actually called each other.
I know. That's she was like, serious.
Call me. I need to tell you something. And I was like, oh no.
But then I was like, don't worry. It's good. And I was like,
wow, but good enough for a phone call?
Right, right.
I was like, oh, I don't know about that.
So tell them what it does.
You tell them.
Oh, well, we received an amazing gift, a card and
the sweetest card.
And a bottle of tequila from our good friend Jen, who listens to the podcast.
Jen
and her brother Nate. And they gave us a bottle of tequila and a thank you card and talking about how much they love the podcast and everything.
And Aaron. Jen's husband.
God, they're wonderful. And that is a beautiful bottle.
It really is.
I can't wait to crack into it.
Just very super touching and funny. Like, right, because the way Jen's, the greeting on it was just really clever because it was the way we greet each other in the podcast.
And
it was
like, hello, Katrina Porter. Hello, Anna Serene.
It really meant a lot.
It was very touching. And we love gifts.
Yeah.
Girls love some gifts.
Yeah, it was very sweet.
That was just wonderful. Wow.
Yeah.
You're right. That was a really, really fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Ugh.
That just pepped me right up.
Yeah.
We're going to have some of that tonight, right?
Yeah.
Can I bring up Jessie Wagner again? Just real quick, because I don't know if she can keep track of like downloads or like see, but I've listened to her songs a bunch. I've been listening to her stuff a lot.
I told you she's good.
She is great.
Yeah.
You weren't kidding about that True Colors cover.
I know.
She has a gorgeous voice. I was sending it to all my, I'm like, listen to her. Listen to her.
Right.
This is not a request. That was great. I love meeting people.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Well, tell me a little bit about this movie.
Okay. Well, the budget was $3
million. $3
million? Yeah.
Oh, good for them.
Well, lots of sunglasses.
It was $3 million worth of sunglasses?
Well, sunglasses alone.
I think Halloween, he had like a $300,000 budget.
Is that right?
That was, I'm thinking that's right because that's what was on that, the movies that made us.
Oh, remember? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it was like teeny, teeny, tiny, but it made millions and millions.
That's why they used that Shatner mask.
That's exactly why. Yeah, you're right.
Well, it made $13 million.
That's more.
So it made a profit.
Hey.
And like a lot of movies that we do, it definitely got a cult following when it came out on VHS.
88. Ooh. Ooh. I'm trying to think. There were definitely some good movies that came out in 88.
Well, it was originally scheduled for an October 21st release date, but the film was moved to November 4th in order to avoid competition with Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers.
Was that a John Carpenter as well?
Well, John Carpenter had produced and co-written the first three Halloween films, and he was the director on the first one. But Halloween 4 was the first in the series that was made entirely without his involvement.
I feel like that one sucked, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and another reason they wanted to do the later release is they wanted it to coincide with the November 8th presidential election in tandem with the film's social commentary.
Does this movie have social commentary? I just couldn't quite tell.
What? You're not going to believe this, but John Carpenter wasn't a big fan of Reagan.
What? No.
Yeah.
That didn't come through the movie at all.
It didn't?
No.
And Roddy Piper, like, would never say anything bad about Reagan or wouldn't comment on it, in part because he was in America on a green card. So I don't know where he's from. Probably Canada.
It's probably Canadian. Those pants said
all
Canadian.
The denim. This was
denim.
Yeah, but he also I think kind of liked Reagan. So
Reagan had a massive win. Like he did, he was very, very popular.
Yeah. Okay, this is funny. And it's also an opportunity for me to say something. I'm going to mispronounce something completely incorrectly.
Ka. You said it was going to be funny.
Well, get ready.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I'm not sure how smart.
You pronounced it correctly.
Roddy is.
You mean in real life?
Yeah.
Or the character?
In real life.
Both.
For years after the film's release and even on the movie's DVD commentary, Roddy Piper maintained that the film was based on an actual incident in the 1950s in which a company manufactured a TV that planted subliminal messages in a woman's brain, instructing them to make extravagant purchases. Piper was unaware that the documentary he had seen, La Affaire Brunswick, sure, was in fact a comedy short.
Oh, honey. Oh, honey.
That sweet angel.
Oh, Roddy.
He had to have gotten, you know, hit in the head a lot without all that wrestling.
Oh, he. I mean, I think you have to go into a career with TBIs.
I would assume so. I think that's a prerequisite.
Yeah. He doesn't come across as super bright. I will maintain, I said in the last episode, I'm telling you, his... as the maniac on It's Always Sunny is one of my favorite characters. He is so,
oh my God,
funny.
Yeah.
He really, really is. R.I.P. How did he pass? Is it just like wrestling related? Like a lot of them, I assume.
I'm assuming. Yeah. Mm-mm. I actually didn't look that up.
I liked him so much. I wasn't big into wrestling, but everybody knew who the wrestlers were in the 80s.
Yeah.
It was such a big part of our zeitgeist.
Ooh, nice word.
Thank you.
Also on the commentary, Carpenter pointed out that Piper has made more movies than he has. Carpenter was like, I've only made 20. And
what?
Roddy said, yeah, but you've made 20 good ones.
He's made more than one?
Roddy?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's been in lots of movies.
I had no idea.
I guess so.
How many involve sunglasses and aliens?
One.
Just the one?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's why I don't know. I like my wrestlers to make social commentary.
Only social commentary. And he wasn't comfortable with that.
That's fair.
Yeah.
We already established that he's probably Canadian.
The role of Nada, which is Roddy Piper's name in the movie, which they never say. So I call him Roddy throughout my notes.
Yeah, I only called him Roddy.
Yeah. It was originally written for Kurt Russell.
Oh, of course.
But John Carpenter felt he should cast somebody else after he had already cast Russell in four of his films prior to this.
Yeah.
Yeah, Elvis, Escape from New York, The Thing, and Big Trouble in Little China.
I mean, all great.
Yes.
And he wasn't done with him yet. He still did, he eventually did Escape from L.A.?
Yes. Do you want the rundown of the people that were considered for Nada?
Yes.
You do?
Yes. I think so.
Okay. Alec Baldwin, Michael Biehn, Brian Bosworth, Jeff Bridges, Bruce Campbell, Tom Cruise, Harrison Ford, Mel Gibson, Tommy Lee Jones, Michael Keaton, Christopher Lambert, Stephen Lang, Dolph Lundgren, Michael Madsen, Bill Paxton, Ron Perlman, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sylvester Stallone, Patrick Swayze, Jean-Claude Van Damme, and Bruce Willis. But Carpenter ultimately went with the obvious choice. Of all of
those. They were all busy.
They weren't all busy.
They were probably busy.
You might know this. Vince McMahon,
ew.
Is he a dick?
Ew.
He seems like he's a dick, right?
I want to barf.
Okay.
He is so skeezy.
Well, he told Roddy that he couldn't do this movie. He's like, if you want to be in a movie, I'll find another movie for you in a heartbeat, but you can't do this movie. And Roddy was like, okay, fuck you. And he just left WWF.
Wow.
Yeah. He was like, I'm not going to let you. Because he had like a real, you know, he was like, I'll give you the shirt off my back. But if you tell me, if you make me give it to you, we're going to have a problem.
That's so Canadian.
It's, you know.
It's okay.
But John Carpenter, like, really respected him. Because he was like, you know, Roddy had made a commitment and he was going to stick to it. And he wasn't going to be controlled by this piece of shit.
The problem is in the movie is it does a disservice to the character, kind of, that he looks delighted that he's in this movie. He like constantly looks like he is so happy to be there. Like he won this part in a lottery.
Like straight out of the gate.
He just looks so happy. I bet his lines were other things besides just like, you know what? I just love life. And maybe you should try more patience in life and
live, laugh, love.
Yeah, he live, laugh, love the shit out of this.
Yeah. Dance like no one's watching.
Yeah. Wear those jeans like nobody cares. It was the 80s.
Well, speaking of wrestling.
Yeah.
Late in the movie, there's a line, life's a bitch and she's back in heat.
Yeah. I do have that in my notes.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was Randy the Macho Man Savage's favorite line in the film.
Shit. Okay, I'm taking it out of my notes. Hold on.
I know how you feel about Macho Man Savage.
Oh, I love him.
I know you do.
So much.
Well, he loved that line.
Well, now I do too. I can say that now, and you will not hear it from me later. Don't bring it up. Uh-oh. Your face says bad news.
It's good news for me.
Oh, no.
What?
Oh, no.
That's what I got for pre-synopsis trivia.
That's it?
What do you mean that's it?
Oh, my back hurts.
Did you do some wrestling?
I feel like it. I feel like I battled aliens and I did some wrestling.
I think you wrestled too much booze last night.
I definitely did. And I'm wrestling some more. Although I switched from margarita to the Kraken.
It's doing you right.
And cherry Dr. Pepper.
That makes me think of that Kraken from Clash of the Titans.
Release the...
That swole Kraken.
That was me. I was releasing the Kraken into the toilet bowl this morning. Out of my mouth.
Ooh.
It wasn't fun.
You had bib?
I did have a bib. I did have a bowl in my bed. Oh. But I didn't end up using it because I found my way to the bathroom.
Well, what a grown up.
And then just release the Kraken.
Team America'd it.
Kinda.
Oof.
I just aggressively threw up.
Oof.
I threw up like the toilet owed me money. And
$2.
Stacking it. Where's my $2? All right, fine. Jesus Christ. Let's just get on with it, Kathleen.
Okay. Play the fucking song.
Fine. Whatever.
Let the games begin.
Our movie begins by letting us know that it contains nudity,
mm-hmm.
alcohol use,
mm-hmm.
smoking, violence, foul language, and sexual content, and that also piracy is not a victimless crime. The 80s were the best.
I take umbrage to this.
Why?
Because those things are bad.
What? How many times mm-hmm. do we get those warnings in a movie and it's like a damn
mm-hmm.
or a butt,
mm-hmm.
like just a glimpse of a butt?
Mm-hmm.
Not this movie. This gives us what it promises.
Nudity?
Yeah, there's nudity.
Was there?
There's boobs at the end.
Barely boobs.
There's boobs. The movie takes you out with boobs.
So you have to wait till the entire end of the movie before you get boobs.
But all through it, you get violence. Mm. You get foul language.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Smoking.
What? You get smoking.
That's bad for your health.
Yeah.
Oh.
And not even you. And
you're like, that's why it's cool.
You get fucks. And if a movie promises foul language and doesn't deliver a fuck, what are we even doing here? I ask.
They couldn't have any full frontal?
In 1988?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. Didn't that motherfucker already show his dong in the piano?
Oh, that was the 90s, man.
Was it really?
Yeah.
The piano was in the 90s?
You know what? And I gotta say, I don't want dongs flopping around in my movies.
Actually, I don't either.
It's just not my jam.
I don't either.
Get out of there.
Yeah. It's a bit of a distraction.
Yeah.
It's a jump scare.
It's like, woo!
it's a dick scare.
Yeah. I don't want it. No.
Wait, whoa. Ah, God, Kevin Bacon, what are you doing?
Yeah, stop it, Kevin. I need three more degrees of separation.
I was not prepared. What kind of movie is this, anyway?
But he seems like a delightful person.
I bet he is.
But I just know too much about his person.
Well, you know what? It's about time. Oh, God, I can't even fake that. Like, it's just, I don't... I already have to deal with a lot of dicks in my face.
Like, wait, what? You work in a kitchen.
Anyway.
Okay. Oh, my God. We just... Okay, put a pin in that.
Well, yeah, during the day.
Well, next we have graffiti.
Yeah, I noticed that. That also a crime. Graffiti's a crime. Okay. Not victimless.
It is victimless. It is art.
Somebody put some art on our back door at work quite a few times, and we keep having to wash off that art because it resembles those dick scares that we talked about earlier.
Okay, well, have you heard, and I hadn't, even though I feel like I should have you heard of the artist Shepard Fairey?
Maybe.
Hope I'm not saying that wrong. I feel terrible. Okay, so he's a super successful artist who started in street art. He's probably best known for the Obama Hope poster.
Oh, him.
Okay, yeah. Well, he credits the film as a major source of inspiration, sharing a similar logo to his Obey campaign. He said the movie has a very strong message about the power of commercialism and the way that people are manipulated by advertising. And so that's where he got Obey from.
This movie has that?
Yeah.
This movie has that message?
Of course it does.
It does?
Yes. It's subtle.
You need
glasses to see it.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's subtle. All right. We'll get to that. Oh, Roddy thinks he's Rambo.
We see a smiling fella, alluding to, with a sleeping bag on his back. And holy shit. It is Rowdy Roddy Piper himself. He is clearly new to town, checking things out, and he heads into the unemployment office, and the lady who works there is clearly not a love what you do and you'll never work a day in your life kind of lady.
Yeah, I can't explain why, but his jeans are 80s jeans.
Yeah, they are.
They're undeniable. I can't explain. I looked to see if they were like real high rise.
They're kind of high.
They're, I don't know if it's the color or the cut.
Yes.
Yeah.
He also kind of has a bubble butt.
Is that what it is?
And I think his bubble butt makes them also look like 80s jeans.
Plus, I think maybe with the tucked in plaid, that doesn't help. Yeah, it looks very 80s.
Are you trying to tell me that you didn't love that flannel? Don't you lie to me.
It's tucked in.
Yes. He's trying to say...
those high-waist jeans.
He's trying to say, I'm homeless, but I'm neat.
This unemployment lady has a real stick up her ass. And I'm just going to guess that just based on her voice that she hasn't had a cigarette... break in 5 minutes, she's starting to get the bitchy shakes.
Yeah, she is. She reminded me of the old lady from Beetlejuice that had the...
Yeah!
Yeah. Well, next we see a blind street preacher, and he is telling us that some serious shit is going down. The human spirit is corrupted, and that the man is controlling us.
I assume John Carpenter did the score to this because he composed most of his scores.
Yes, he did.
This one's not his better one.
What?
This intro is putting me to sleep.
What?
Is this an action movie or?
It's just like, you remember the, oh, I know you remember because I know you have feelings for him. Remember the cartoon Robin Hood?
Where is this going?
Down in Nottingham. It's kind of like that vibe, you know?
Yeah, that has that one down-tempo song, and the rest of it's ood lolly golly, what a day. That's not this. The whole movie is brum, 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 brum. This future isn't bleak. It's just boring as shit.
No, it's starting out kind of down Nottingham. Brum, brum, brum. Walking down the street, looking for a fox to steal some gold.
I will not stand for this Robin Hood.
It's a crossover.
It is not a crossover. It is not a crossover. I should know. I don't feel anything in a confusing sort of way at all. There's nothing confusing about this. Just, it's just lulling me into sleep.
He's just taking in the scenery, you know.
Very slowly.
The police roll up and they are shutting that shit down. And Roddy's going to keep on stepping. He makes his way to a homeless camp and sees a chop-off flying around. You can tell that he thinks that this is a little suspicious. Do you think Arnold's in it?
Because there's a chop-off?
Yeah.
Is this like the chopper that was taking out the people?
Yes, from Running Man.
He's like...
He's the something of Bakersfield, the...
The butcher at Bakersfield. Butcher,
yeah.
Yeah. And innocent civilians down there. What did I do? What kind of Arnold did I do this last time? What was it?
Italian?
Oh, yeah. There were women and innocent children down there.
John Carpenter brought real homeless people into the production for several scenes and smaller characters and gave them food as well as paychecks, which Roddy, really appreciated because there had been times in his life when he really struggled. So he really had super positive feelings about John Carpenter.
You can almost see Roddy's thinking throughout his entire movie. You can see his thought bubble through every single thing he's in, where he's like, I need to be cold here. I need to be curious here. I need to be confused here. He does that one a lot. I need to be confused here.
You're giving him a lot of credit for having thought bubbles. Roddy is getting his hustle on, and he gets a job working on a construction site where you are not allowed to wear a shirt, making this movie even better.
Yeah, not into it.
And me either. One of his friendly coworkers named Frank tells him about another homeless camp where they serve food and have showers, and he is played by the amazing Keith David. Shut your mouth. You have nothing to say. Nope, I didn't think so. He has been in a million movies, like The Thing. There's Something About Mary, Frank and Beans.
How the hell did you get the Frank above the Beans? The Beans above the Frank.
Platoon, Armageddon. But he also has a very distinctive voice and has done voice work in Rick and Morty, The Princess and the Frog, Hercules, Adventure Time, Coraline. Tons of stuff. Carpenter was impressed with his performance in The Thing, and he wanted someone who wouldn't be like a traditional sidekick, but who would hold his own. So he wrote the role of Frank specifically for Keith David.
I love him as the president on Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
He's really funny on that show.
He's so good. And he's really good in this.
He is a great actor in general.
Mm-hmm. You have something to say about the construction site?
No, just, I mean, when he's like, he's trying to get him to go to the other one. He's like, I don't like being followed. Unless I know why.
I thought that was funny.
You thought that was funny.
Sure.
Miss, I think I'm being followed if somebody turns the same
direction. I don't think I'm being followed.
Uh-huh.
Just to be clear.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I'm being followed. But if I ever am being followed, I'm going to know it because I'm checking.
You think you're being followed all the time.
I'm just asking questions.
There's times where I'm talking to you in the car and I can see like your posture like perks up and you become more like, you know, you're more in tune with what's going on. You're taking notes mentally of like the car that's, you know, three cars behind you. That car's been three cars behind me this entire way. Doesn't that seem suspicious?
Yeah, it's suspicious.
Every time, I mean, like, it doesn't matter how fast I go or slow I go, they're always three cars behind.
Mm-hmm. That's weird, right?
No.
Well, if it ever is weird one day, I'll be clocking it.
I don't mind being followed.
You're like, you know what? If I get kidnapped, take it as a compliment.
Are you kidding me? I don't pay attention to this. I don't pay attention to my surroundings, and I don't have any basic spatial awareness. So I just assume one day I'm either going to be thrown into an unmarked van or fall down an open manhole.
Don't worry. I put the location on your phone on.
I turned that off. Actually, I don't think I did. It's on.
You've got to have it on.
Yeah, it is on. I'm positive I have it on because I need to be able to find my phone when I lose it.
Yeah, Jesus. Or when you get taken to a secondary location.
That's probably going to happen one of these days. I'm probably very easily kidnappable.
You are. You're not paying attention.
Not at all. And they don't even have to really trick me.
You'll be sidetracked by watching somebody getting a blowy in the back seat of the car in the parking garage and get snatched right up. Do you know how many people get kidnapped in parking garages?
How many?
A lot.
Really?
More than you would think.
Oh God, you just unlocked a new fear. Thank you.
Parking garages are just rife for snatching.
I know, but it keeps my car safe from hail.
I'm not saying
inclement weather.
Just
spatial awareness.
Check your exits.
Check my exits.
Yeah.
That seems like a lot, though.
It's not.
I mean, I'm already having to, figure out where my car is parked. Like, why do I have to also pay attention to, how am I going to escape if I need to?
Why can't you just park in the same spot every time?
Well, I do.
Okay.
Well, if I can.
Well, you don't have to figure things out, then.
I forget.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. So can I tell you how many times I parked right outside of the building, and then I just walked right past it because I forgot that I parked there, okay. And I had to double back.
We'll put a pin in that also. We got some things to talk about. Roddy likes to end the evening playing a little harmonica when all of a sudden he sees someone on TV who is talking about the man, kind of like the preacher was, and is saying that the man is trying to stay under the radar so they can keep repressing people.
Yeah, the harmonica. It's like he watched a thing on what do I need to do to look like a hobo? Like it's funny, when I was watching this, I'm surprised he doesn't have one of those sticks, with the
red and white little sack.
Yeah, and he's kicking a can, and then as I was thinking that, he kicked a fucking can.
It was authentic. That's a pro. Okay, you're not gonna believe this.
Probably not.
That was really Roddy playing.
It was?
Yeah.
That's hard to believe.
I know. So good.
I just assumed it was dubbed by a professional harmonica player.
Right?
No.
Oh. Well, the man on TV is saying that they're being repressed. So people... Wait.
Why is the preacher saying the same stuff as the TV hacker? I didn't understand that
because
at all.
Because it's their talking points. So it's kind of cluing you in that they're a group of people.
But so, he was saying it even in the pauses and stuff like that.
I mean, I think it's kind of a rehearsed thing. This is what they say. They're talking about the man, saying the man is trying to stay under the radar so they can keep repressing people by making them live in cardboard boxes and play depressing songs on the harmonica.
Kind of.
And this was before Blues Traveler made it cool again.
Did they make it cool, though?
I think so.
Did they?
Well, yeah, right? And then here you just kind of look like a loser who couldn't play a cool instrument like the saxophone.
Everything you say makes me have more questions.
I still believe.
Oh.
Yeah. How much envy do you think Roddy had that he didn't have a saxophone and a codpiece?
I think he probably had that till the day he died.
I'm sure he did.
He never realized that dream. That's a con.
I know, but I feel like John Carpenter is the type of director that has reasonable expectations for people. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to be a saxophone and a codpiece person just willy-nilly. I feel like you could kind of pick up the harmonica and sort of give it a go.
I think that's what Roddy thought.
Yeah. So, confidence is key.
Also, playing is key as well, but I just thought the preacher talking, it seemed weird. I didn't understand it.
I kind of liked it. I thought it was spooky.
I didn't like it because it was spooky. I don't want that much spookiness.
I thought it was just the right amount of spookiness. I thought it was a 5 on the spooky scale.
It's too early in this movie for spooky.
Oh,
I haven't been eased in.
5 minutes ago, you said there was too much ease.
Yeah, it was just boring, boring, boring. Spooky!
No! Roddy notices one of the camp people going in and out of the church across the street at random hours, and he knows that you only go to church on Christmas and Easter unless something fishy is going on. So he's going to check this out.
Wow. Well, just tell him on yourself.
Listen, people, you know what you're getting with me.
You know what this character's superpower is?
What?
Observing.
He is so observant.
I don't think he's actually absorbing any of that observation, but he is definitely observing.
That's a pro.
Just no, he's not absorbing any of that observation. He's what? Just kind of looking around. Nah.
Well, he finds a shitload of sunglasses, some Bill Nye the Science Guy kits, and a message on the wall that says, "They live, we sleep."
Subtle.
Right. And you know what he's thinking?
Butterflies.
Holy shit. This church is a front for a Ray-Ban factory.
Holy shit. I wonder if I can find a Snickers nearby.
He has always wanted Ray-Bans. But he also wears flannel. So he has to pretend that he's not a Ray-Ban guy.
This character?
Yes.
How do you know all of this?
Have you not been watching?
No, I fell asleep.
No, the flannel, the jeans.
The music, the dun-dun. Just the way. Put me right to sleep.
He can't be like, I'm a Ray-Ban guy.
Why not?
It's just not his style. But inside it is.
How do you know if you're a Ray-Ban person?
You just know. You're obviously not.
When you know, you know.
Right. You're like a 70s sunglasses, kind of hippie.
If you're a Rabe, you know you're a Rabe.
Yeah. And he is inside, but he's also from Canada. So he can't be like...
What a struggle.
I know. But now he's like, holy shit. Do I have an excuse to wear Ray-Bans now?
Were those Ray-Bans?
I think so.
I don't know. They didn't have it. I didn't see the logo.
Well, they're
knockoffs?
The budget is... They had $3 million.
What I'm saying is, what if you're a Ray-Ban person, but they're knockoff Ray-Bans? What if they're...
It's okay.
Ray-Tans.
I know, but he's also living at a homeless camp, so mm-hmm. It's better if they're knockoffs. Because he doesn't want people to steal from him either if they're like super expensive. So this is like win-win for him.
Win-win-win-win?
Yeah. We also see the TV talker and a bunch of other guys, and they are trying to figure out how to get the message out about the man and that the TV gig isn't doing the trick. The blind street preacher sneaks up on Roddy, and he gets the fuck out of there. And uh-oh, we see another choppa.
I didn't realize that the preacher was blind until like 2/3 of the way through the movie.
You didn't?
No.
You just thought he was squinty?
Yeah. You know why? No Ray-Bans.
Not every black blind person wears sunglasses on them.
I didn't say anything about black. I don't see color. Neither does he. I'm saying it would have been more. There's a lot that they like try to like smack you over the head with, like all the messaging in this.
Roddy sees the church fellas loading up a car with a bunch of boxes from the church and driving off. And Roddy tells Frank there's some weird shit going on at that church. And Frank says he don't want any of that heat and to back off. And Roddy ain't so sure about that. And then that evening, the choppa is back again.
Mm-mm.
What?
I don't like that.
Well, no, because this time they have guns pointed at the church. And the police show up to raid the church. They barely get the street preacher out of the church before they go in there with riot gear and smoke bombs and all sorts of shit.
And they tear up the homeless camp and stuff, too.
They do. They bulldoze the shit out of it.
Is that a police-issued bulldozer?
No, it's not. It's not like black and white. I think they stole it.
The police stole the bulldozer?
Yeah.
Well, that's not okay.
I know. These aren't good guys.
What kind of future is this?
This is 2025.
Is it really?
I think that's what they... Wait, no. They say something about 2025 in the movie somewhere.
I don't know.
I had tequila.
That's what people were wearing? They think that they're wearing in 2025?
Nah, maybe.
I don't know about that. I can't tell what's been trashed by the cops and what hasn't because it was all pretty disarrayed to begin with.
I know. We don't take care of people in this country.
We don't.
Trust
I agree. Me. That's the message that we should be saying here.
You know what? Just As an aside, as we are trying to record this episode, Ty is clearly listening to our episode of The Frighteners.
Yeah.
And he is sending me messages. He is questioning my social work knowledge. He's like, is Kansas mandated reporting just for minors? Or is vulnerable adults correct as well? How dare he? Adult Protective Services is a thing for a reason. Yeah. And he's like, also, I knew that was John Astin. How dare he?
Oh, well, I guess he's going to know where else to sleep tonight, too.
Yeah. Doesn't have to ask me about that.
But he'll know.
Back to my notes.
He'll know.
Yeah, he will.
Maybe you can see if John Astin has a place to stay. He's still alive. Not R.I.P.
Well, Roddy runs off with Christopher from Flowers in the Attic to escape the police.
Yeah, what was he doing there?
Well, he was in the homeless shelter.
How did he get out of that attic?
Poison.
Then what happened to his siblings?
Poison.
Oh, no.
I know, but...
Because of the cookies that the mom gave him?
No, because, I mean, we saw how that one bitch turned out.
I want to see you eat it. Eat it, Mom.
He knew. He knew that she could turn on him, too.
Eat the cookie.
Right. And now look what she's like.
Oh. Right? That is one fucked up family.
Yeah.
He was also in the Goonies.
Yeah.
He was one of Troy's buddies.
Troy's bucket guys.
Yeah, that's gone. He's a bad guy. Don't trust him.
Well, the next day, Roddy goes back to the church and fulfills a lifelong dream, grabs a box of those knockoff Ray-Bans. This movie is a dream maker.
A whole box, you say?
The 80s were the best.
When he digs into the box, he seems really disappointed that those are sunglasses.
He doesn't. That's a look of happiness on his face.
He throws them in the trash.
He hides them.
In the trash. What a fucking idiot. What a fucking idiot. We'll get to that.
He puts a pair on, and when he starts walking down the street, he notices a bunch of hidden messages all over the town. And even scarier than that, some of the people are not actually people. They are aliens. Can you imagine how devastating this is for him? For a minute?
Well, for him, it takes him a very, very, very long time to figure out what's going on. Very long time to figure out that something... He knows something's not right, but it takes him a very long time to figure out.
He thinks this is the best moment of his life.
Yeah.
He has knockoff Ray-Bans.
Yeah.
He has a reason for having them.
Yeah.
He can say, I know I dress like this, and this isn't my vibe. I don't even really want to be wearing these, but this church guy gave them to me, and you can't say no to the church, so I got to wear them. Mm. But internally, he's so happy because he's always wanted them.
And he finally gets them.
And he fucking sees aliens everywhere.
That's a con.
It tells you how complicated this world is. That sometimes when you really want something, it's not always what's best for you. It's like me and chocolate and queso. Sometimes I think queso is what I really need. And then...
Poop? Oh.
Did you say poop?
You were pointing to your butthole. Right? Are you not pointing your butthole? Were you saying gain weight? Oh, it'll put pounds on you? Oh, okay. He takes a very, very long time, and I think these signs are absolutely silly. Marry and reproduce. My God.
Did you say marry and reproduce, LOL?
Yeah. They actually have that as one of the signs.
They didn't have LOL back then.
That was an addition. It was a sarcastic LOL. You know what these aliens need help with? Subtlety.
Yeah, and moisturizer.
Obey. Sleep.
They get right to the point.
Marry, reproduce.
You know what? I'm not on their side. I'm not. And I'm not an evil alien apologist by any means. I do appreciate someone who just gets to the point.
That sounds like you're taking the alien side.
I'm not. Because they do take people's choice away.
Do they though?
Yeah, because they hide things.
You know what? I think I just came up with another con, and I'm going to wait till the end for it.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to half pay attention to my notes and try to figure out what it is.
Well, I'll probably forget.
So perfect.
I'm just going to say something really controversial.
Oh, boy. Do it.
I don't actually think that Roddy is a good actor. I don't think he's a very good actor. There, I said it. I stand by it.
I think there are times in this movie where he is effective.
Really?
Yeah.
Like when he's not in the scene?
When he's in that... I will tell you...
When he's fighting?
When there are times when I think he's effective. I will tell you... I'll tell you as they come up.
Is it when he's wrestling?
Well, and I will tell you that I am happy for him that he's in this movie because I think it was a good opportunity and I think he made the most of it.
I don't have a comment on that.
And I think I feel very confident that he is a better fucking person than Melanie Gibson. So,
oh, I can say that.
I'm glad he got it over Melanie Gibson.
Can't say that, but I think he's definitely a better person than Melbourne Gibson. I would like for just real quick, can you please, Katrina Porter?
Yeah.
Since you did the research on this.
Yeah.
Can you please explain to me how the sunglasses work?
Yeah. Well, it's science.
So yeah, I meant scientifically. Can you just break it down for me? Because I couldn't quite figure out how they work, how they're able to see the signs, and also the aliens.
Well, you remember in the church, they had those, those like test tube things?
Did they?
Yeah. Remember the beakers? You remember the beakers?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Meow, meow.
Yeah. They had those on the table, and they were making the sunglasses out of them.
Sunglasses out of beakers.
Well, they were making the film that goes inside the sunglasses. Mm-hmm. They were making that's what they're making them out of.
What's the film?
Alien juice.
So it's like from their plant. It's like how like kryptonite comes from Krypton.
Yeah. So if you don't put it like in your body, but like your eyeballs are exposed to like the fumes of it.
Okay.
That's why it gives them a headache.
Oh, so it's like radiation.
Kind of, but not, you know.
So they're giving people tumors?
Where or beware. Where or beware.
Where does it say on that?
On the side. Where it says normal ones say Ray-Ban.
It says Ray-Tan.
It says fumes.
Where or beware. Yeah, is it like a little skull and crossbones?
Yeah. But it looks like it's an alien head. Yeah.
right. Yeah. Of course, obviously. Yeah. And then it says obey.
Yeah.
JK, we're not one of them.
No, we don't.
We don't support what they support. Okay.
It says free. Free your brain.
Free your mind.
Don't be so shallow. Love En Vogue. Okay, so when Roddy goes into the grocery store or something.
Yeah, again, hasn't quite figured out what's going on.
And when he does, he says to one lady, you look like your head fell in the cheese dip in 1957. And then he looks at another lady and he goes, you're okay. This one, real fucking ugly. I'm like, holy shit. And then he does an Anna and just fucking falls.
What?
Then he gets cornered by the alien police, but he kicks their ass and takes their shit.
They're like, he's tall, Caucasian male, wearing sunglasses, fucking dumb as a box of hand puppets, dumb as a bulldozer full of gravel.
Yeah,
he don't know nothing.
He don't know nothing. But well, yeah, he doesn't actually. He accidentally stumbles into a bank.
Yeah, he just acts. Yes, he stumbling is correct.
With like. Guns out, buns out.
Yeah.
Suns out, funs out. Then he says,
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Is that the first time that line was used?
Well, funny you say that. According to director John Carpenter, Piper had previously written the line in his notebook kind of like a clue book, but for wrestlers, of potential verbal bits during his wrestling career. And John Carpenter saw it and he goes, we're putting that in.
Roddy had that in his...
Right.
He had his own... Because I thought you said John Carpenter had it.
No.
Said it. Roddy.
Roddy had it, but John Carpenter saw it in like... Roddy had like all of these lines written and John Carpenter's like, okay, well, that's kind of funny. So he put it in here and then Roddy started using it.
I'm surprised he didn't use it like in his wrestling days. I mean, the 80s were the best for like...
Yeah. He used it after that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's used all the time now, but yeah. I had no idea where it came from.
No, he wrote it himself.
From Roddy?
Roddy wrote it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Jordan Carpenter's like, okay, that's funny. Put it in.
I mean, it's no cream of the crop, so. The cream rise to the top. Oh, yeah.
Okay. You know what? You're a macho man gal.
Pulls out those little creamers. I just can't quite handle it. They just keep coming. He pulls out like eight of them.
He was the funniest. I think he was the funniest.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Randy Savage was the funniest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. R.I.P.
Oh, yeah.
R.I.P. Oh, God damn.
Well, he shoots up a few of the aliens and then goes on his merry way. He's in a parking garage, and he meets a woman named Holly.
Meets. That's a fun way of saying it.
With blue eyes like an Alaskan Malamute, which truly is a compliment.
What is it with 80s movies where the hero, quote unquote hero, mm-hmm. abducts a woman in her car, and somehow that's okay?
I'm trying to tell you, with visual examples from movies we love, that parking garages are not safe. That's why I started this podcast with you to begin with.
Is it really?
Yes.
What a very roundabout way to...
This will save your life. I wanted to have some fun also.
Right. It's just that it took 90 episodes before... Technically, this is 91.
Yeah. I mean, I just thought we'd drink some tequila.
Everybody is so low energy, sad, TM, TM, TM in this.
Well, you mean the person who plays Holly, Meg Foster?
Her, Roddy, like everybody is like, just coming off of a Valium.
Roddy's smiling all the time.
Well, he can't help that. That's his default.
Yeah, he's kind of like Leia. Meg Foster, she played Evil Lynn in the live action version of 1987 Masters of the Universe opposite Dolph Lundgren as He-Man.
I remember.
Yeah.
Oh, can I tell you something real quick about Dolph Lundgren?
Sure. Is it good or bad?
It's good.
Okay.
Well, it's kind of about him. So Finn, my son,
yeah,
his new thing he wants to be when he grows up, he says that when he grows up, he wants to be a scientist, but he also wants to be a bodybuilding scientist because he feels that would be better at science because he'd be stronger.
Mm-hmm.
It is so cute. I didn't even want to tell him how stupid that was.
Right.
But I mean, it's very, very, very cute.
Yeah. He'll figure out how dumb it is.
Right. But I was like, there is somebody that's like that. So I showed him Dolph Lundgren, who has like two chemical engineering degrees.
Yeah.
He is a bodybuilding scientist.
He is.
And he's a Swede.
Yeah, he is.
So I was like, here you go, buddy. I was like, and he was He-Man. And he's like, who's that? And I was like, you're dead to me.
Well, this is your fault. You can't blame him.
I showed him He-Man a bunch. It's just right now he's really into the G.I. Joe, like the old G.I. Joe cartoon.
Okay, that's
fair. And actually Transformers. He's really into Transformers.
Yeah. He was telling me about Bumblebee, and I was like,
well, what's wrong with Bumblebee?
Nothing.
You liked the villains. You're a Starscream girl.
Bumblebee's kind of a puss.
He's not kind of a puss. He's just small.
Yeah.
He's just wee.
He's wee.
Like me. Like me. Anyway, that's my Dolph Lundgren
story. I like the Decepticons.
Starscream!
I mean, you know how I feel about Skeletors.
Abs. Abs. I wonder what Megatron is rocking underneath the...
Swole. For sure.
Do you want me to sing that song?
Transformers more than meets the eye. I feel like we should stop doing this now that we have a real singer that listens.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Can we re-edit, like, all of the other episodes?
She would say, hey, Jessie, will you...
She's like, hey, guys, maybe just, you know,
don't
warm up in the back or something quietly.
Well, he tells Holly that they need to take a ride and chill out at her casa. You think she might end up being an ally, but bitch hits him over the head with a wine bottle and wastes what looks like a perfectly good bottle of Pinot Grigio and throws his ass out the window.
How strong is she? He's 1,000 pounds.
She's very strong.
How strong? Because she's petite.
I know, Anna, but...
Do those eyes make her stronger?
Do you need me to remind you what they had in the 80s?
Coke. Oh, yeah. Can I make one more tiny little mild observation?
Sure.
Even if it's a little controversial?
Sure.
Roddy is not a good actor. Not even a little bit.
Yeah, you know what?
At all.
When he rubbed his forehead, and I thought, oh, he really has a headache.
There's better acting in the head-on, apply directly to forehead commercial. Head-on, apply directly to forehead.
You know what? He just tries so darn hard.
That was probably a real headache. He's not acting.
He was just thinking so hard.
He's just trying so hard to remember his lines and also, like, you know, what emotion he's supposed to be doing in that moment.
Yeah, tries.
And he's like, ow, my head.
Hard worker. He had that Canadian work ethic. Well, Roddy finds Frank at the job site and tells him he needs to show him something, which Frank politely refuses. Yeah, he said, nah. Roddy has to dig through some trash to find this box of Ray-Bans. Frank finds Roddy in the alley, gives him some money, and Roddy insists that Frank put on the sunglasses so he can see what Roddy sees. What ensues is one of the greatest on-screen fights of all time. Come at me, and I will fight you like this fight. It lasts 5 minutes and 20 seconds. It was originally only supposed to last 20 seconds.
What?
Roddy and Keith David decided to fight it out for real, only faking the hits to the face and the groin. They rehearsed it, the fight for 3 weeks, and Carpenter was so impressed, he kept it in.
What?
Yeah, like they came up with this like gigantic fight scene. They practiced it in Carpenter's backyard.
They're like, this is going to be so good.
Yeah.
Shit's going to be fucking iconic.
Yeah, but Carpenter liked it. There was like, you said it was iconic. Yes, you did. You
said that's what they said.
No. You kind of said it was. Was that a button push? I don't know. That's kind of borderline. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to give you a break on that one. But I want that kept on the record. I'm letting that one go.
I'm sweating now.
What Carpenter liked about it, though, was like there's no martial arts. There's no, you know.
There's definitely not.
This is like a street fight. Like they are just going, these like two desperate guys just going at it. And he liked it. So he's like, all right, I'm keeping it in.
The whole thing.
Yeah. And I can't remember the name of the episode, but it's on, there's a.
Cripple fight.
We're just quoting it here. Cripple fight.
I think that's the name of the episode.
It is on South Park. Jimmy and Timmy.
Timmy!
Do this fight on South Park. Like scene for scene. It is so funny. Well, Roddy finally gets Frank to wear the sunglasses. They stumble down the street together, both looking beat up all to hell. And they check into a motel to get a plan together. And they look like shit.
They look like I felt this morning.
I like it. They look like...
Hammered shit. Like Weeza.
They look like Weeza. You look like hammered dog shit. I'm sorry. You look like regular shit. Well, Roddy shares a story with Frank about his dad, and it's not what you would say is the most heartwarming of stories.
Or well acted.
You know what? Roddy said he didn't actually like his act. He didn't really like this scene. because he didn't think he did a good job, and John Carpenter really felt like he did. He thought that
more self-awareness than I. So he liked all of the other acting he didn't. He's like, this one scene, I just wasn't giving my all, but the rest of the movie, it was 100%.
I think the point was like he took it all like really seriously. Like he tried really, really hard. And like he was really trying to capture something in this scene, and he didn't really feel like he did it. And John Carpenter was like, I feel like you did. I feel like you talked about, you know, this time with your dad. And
I think the whole movie.
What?
I think he doesn't know well enough. You know, I'm just going to stop talking because there's no way to say this without getting a button push.
He's like, when I was a kid, my dad tried to saw my face off all the Joker style. Do you remember this part of the movie where
yes.
Yeah. He's like, but I got news for these aliens. I ain't daddy's little boy anymore. And I was like, holy shit, Roddy.
It sounds like you never were.
I know. It was like, were you daddy's little boy when he tried to take your face off?
Yeah.
Like,
I do have a few questions for your dad.
Yeah. And I hope he's dead. Oh. My God, that made me think of Samuel Jackson in Time to Kill. Yeah.
Yeah, he deserved to die.
Dad, I hope it burns in hell.
Oh.
Well, Frank and Roddy go to an anti-weird-ass alien rally where they have a shitload of guns and I see alien contact lenses.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who shows up?
Oh, wait. Did you happen to notice them putting in those contact lenses?
Yeah.
They put those in like they're snorting a line of coke. Did you catch that? They brought those up to their face like they were going to snort them onto their eyes.
You know what? You do what you know.
That's hilarious. Like, is that just like just muscle memory?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I've got a little compartment that must go up my nose. Oh, it's for my eyes. Okay. I see.
Right. Like if it was me, I would do it like really suspiciously and it would take me a long time because I'd be anxious.
I would smack it to the ground because I'm not putting anything in my eyes.
Right.
I don't do that. Yeah. I don't, not even to see aliens. Just give me the Ray-Bans.
Right. Yeah. They're going to do it like it's coke. It's
Meg. What's her name? Meg.
Meg Foster.
She really is a beautiful actress. It's just unsettling.
Because of her eyes?
Yeah. She's very unique looking as an actress.
Yeah, she's beautiful. But, she shows up and she's like, I'm sorry, baby. I didn't know about those aliens. But no sooner did she show up, but the police show up and start shooting everyone. Mm-hmm. And I was like 11 when I first saw this movie. And I still thought, this hoe ain't loyal. She's in cahoots with the evil E.T.,
yeah, it seems super obvious.
Yeah.
They have a very odd attraction, for sure. But at no point at all in this movie did I ever think, she's a good person.
No. I never trusted her.
Never. Not once.
No.
Not once. It's not the eyes.
No, she just...
If she was wearing Ray-Bans, I still wouldn't have trusted her.
Maybe even at 11, I was like, I don't trust somebody who's going to waste a good Pinot Grigio.
I don't care what kind of strength it gives you.
That looks like a $13 bottle of wine. You don't have any yellowtail back there you can hit him with?
God, not the wine. Don't you have a box? That would have a lot more. Well, actually, no.
Want to hit him with a box of wine. Jesus, that's four bottles. Frank starts messing with the alien watch and opens a passage to an underground base of some kind. And they hear someone talking about Operation Steel Fist. I'm sorry.
Operation Steel Fist.
Oh, fuck. It's Tuesday. Absolutely not.
No, we shut that down.
Yeah.
Operation Steel Fist did not go how we thought it would. Let's not talk about it.
No. No. I think legally we're not allowed to.
No, not until the trial.
Well, and then they stumble into a ballroom where everyone is dressed in their finest and some knob is giving a speech about how they are making a shit ton of money. They run into one of the people they were at the homeless camp with, and he has been recruited by the baddies, and he thinks they have as well because he is a dumbass.
He doesn't ask a single question about why they're there. You're here, so you must be on my side. Here, let me show you all of the inside shit since you're definitely with here and not with us and not here to kill us.
Yeah, I think he's like mainlining
stupidity.
Yeah, and he's dumb. Mm. He's real dumb. Mm. He's stupid, stupid, stupid.
Well, I mean, that's kind of par for the course for characters in this movie, I suppose.
Oh, I mean, that's why the aliens were able to... All this subterfuge.
Mm. Yeah. I recognized him, his voice.
I know. Well, I recognized his face, but I didn't look him up because...
Shit, I was hoping you did.
Nah.
Okay.
Well, he takes him on a tour of the place, including a transport-type thingy.
Yeah, there's just open space? I didn't understand that either. How is there just open space?
Well, I think they're going to, like, the Blue Planet.
But, I mean, it's just open space there.
Well, no, it's just they clean. They're very clean.
No. It looks like space.
I know, it's because the window's so clean. There's a window there.
There's a window there.
Yeah, it's just very, they use a lot of Windex.
That doesn't look like it just looks like they're just in space.
That's a pro. They're very clean.
It's confusing.
No, they're very clean.
That doesn't make sense.
Frank and Roddy start shooting up the place on their way to get to the roof so they can destroy the shield, which will allow everyone to see the aliens. Frank and Roddy also find Holly, and they head to the roof when that bitch shoots Frank.
I fucking knew it. I absolutely knew it.
I was really upset about that.
Everybody saw that coming.
Oh, I didn't see her shooting Frank in the head and him dying.
Well, no. I mean, well, she shoots him, but he doesn't die from that.
Frank?
Oh, Frank. Sorry.
Yeah,
sorry.
Frank. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Holly tries to convince Roddy to drop the gun and leave with her, but Roddy ain't having it. And as he's being shot, he shoots up the satellite disc and flips off the cops in the chopper. This is kind of unique for this type of movie because the two heroes both die, which is pretty unusual for an action movie, I think. I forgot that happened.
Yeah, I did too. I really did too. Mm-hmm. I absolutely 100% forgot.
Well, everyone can now see the aliens and they are for sure going to get theirs.
Wait, before that though, because I do remember.
Uh-huh.
One more con.
Okay.
How bad are the aliens, actually?
They're real bad.
How? Okay. What are they doing that's so bad?
Well, I'll tell you. Do you remember the Lorax?
Yeah.
And how they built a wall around the city so you couldn't see that all the truffula trees were cut down?
Yes.
That's what the aliens did.
What? No, they didn't.
They built a wall around the world to see that there was no more trees and... And basically no more tequila.
They don't show that. Even when they like go after Nada, even when they go after him in the beginning of the movie or whatever, the cops are like, hey, you look just as bad to us as we do to you. Like, can't we just resolve this in a way? I mean, like they don't even try to kill him or anything. They're just like... We can make this all right.
They did try to kill him. They went in and shot up the church. They went and bulldozed the homeless camp. Like, I think...
That was the cops.
But a lot of the cops were aliens. You saw that. You saw a lot of the cops were aliens. Some of them were human. The cop that was human, he didn't shoot him. He's like, run along, little fella. If you don't conform to what they want you to do, then you get killed.
It just seemed like they're painting them as really, really bad, and they just didn't seem that bad.
No,
you know what I mean? Like,
if you don't like obey, if you don't conform, you get killed.
Well,
that seems bad.
Well, yes, I suppose.
I mean, you don't obey. You'd be one of the first people dead.
I don't obey. I'm a compulsive rule follower.
I know, but not... You wouldn't follow these rules.
Probably I would. Yeah, I probably
would. No, these rules seem lame AF.
I don't like to to rock the boat.
I know, but these rules sucked.
Okay, well, that's all I have.
Okay, well, that's the end.
Yay!
It's done. Yes, it's over now.
I should have gotten a button push for that one.
Okay. Well, that one was borderline. I want your next button push to be like a good one.
Okay. Okay.
Because I have a movie in mind.
Oh boy. Yeah. Okay.
And you ain't gonna like it.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Is it on my list that I gave you?
No.
Oh no. Okay. Yikes. I shouldn't have pulled out that emoji movie on you.
No. You shouldn't have.
Oh, sorry.
You shouldn't have.
Well, let me make it up to you. Do you want to hear my happy ending?
I do want to hear it.
Okay. Well, obviously this movie's about aliens.
Right.
So that immediately made me think of...
Sigourney Weaver?
Sigourney Weaver.
Oh.
My happy ending is Sigourney Weaver.
Okay. Love her.
I went in thinking, I wonder what kind of person she is like. And literally everything I read, she is like a wonderful person.
Oh,
she does tons of charitable work, including starting, of course, the Dian Fossey Gorilla Fund. She just seems to have a delightfully optimistic attitude in general. I mean, everything. People love working with her. And she talked about having to find roles in Hollywood after, you know, through aging or whatever.
Yeah.
And she, you know, and she's, you know, a lot of people kind of, a lot of actresses do everything they can to kind of fight aging. That is their business. They can do whatever they want to. She feels like she's, you know, talking about getting older. She's like, I love it. She's, I enjoy working with younger people because I learn so much from them. And I like to bring in my own ways of doing things, and I'm getting wonderful parts. And she says, that's great news for women in the industry. And, you know, she doesn't get upset about never being cast as like kind of the, you know, the
ingenue.
Yeah. She actually said that. She says, I was never the babe or the beautiful ingenue or the love interest because I was too tall. She says, I love playing interesting people. And that's continued. I don't have to figure out who I am.
Crazy, no. Because she's beautiful.
She is. Her name is not Sigourney. It's Susan Weaver. And she just didn't feel like her name suited her. She picked Sigourney because it's a long name. And she felt like she's a long person. She's tall. She's like, she says, I'm not a Susie.
Hmm.
You know,
My name is not Susie.
Right. And she also talked about, I loved this, where they asked her about bringing in more, you know, different crews, more women, minorities. She says, that feels like that hasn't been prioritized. She says, I think the union studios need to actively start embracing it. She says, everybody I work with agrees it would be so much better if you look around the stage. It reflected what life is like in America, which is a diverse community. And I like that.
Yeah.
That she's like, not just like, we need to be doing this because it's the right. She's like, this is America. Why are our crews and stuff not reflecting that?
Mm-hmm.
I just love her. I think she's incredibly wonderful. And she lifts other actresses and actors and everybody up. And she can also breathe underwater for 6.5 minutes.
She's a badass.
They had to for Avatar.
Yeah.
For the second one, they trained with like Navy SEALs because they had to do like deep sea diving and stuff like that. And she was able to, James Cameron said she could easily hold her breath underwater for 6.5 minutes.
I wouldn't. Okay. I haven't seen the second Avatar.
And I won't.
I've heard one of the criticisms, and I hope I get this right, is that it's got kind of a white savior, you know, native, maybe kind of sort of like a native, basically mm-hmm. like a white savior thing.
Yeah.
So I wonder what her perspective is on that with her being in it, given that, perspective that I agree with that she has.
Yeah.
Because that's what people that like it, like my daughter-in-law, who's Native American,
mm-hmm.
who likes those movies, and she liked that movie. She, of course, had that, you know, said that that was part of the movie, the whole whitewashing thing, or white savior thing, not whitewashing, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's interesting. That makes me so happy that she's a good person.
She also credits like, not a humility type of thing, but just that she just is never fear. Do you know why she took the part in Ghostbusters?
No.
She wanted to play somebody that was possessed by a dog. She just thought that would be such a hoot. She just thought it would be really interesting. One of her first parts on stage before she broke into Hollywood was a woman who had a hedgehog stuck up her vagina. And she got like a criticism for it. Like everybody was like, she asked somebody, the critic, you know, a stage critic or whatever, what do you think of the performance? And he's like, well, I didn't really believe that, you know, you had that. And it not drove her crazy, but she went back and she like completely overanalyzed. She went on stage and was like, I am really going to visualize having a hedgehog. She's like, so I really,
I'm going to
like,
commit.
She's like, I could almost feel that. And she looked out and it was crickets. Like she lost all the laughs that she was supposed to be getting that. She's like, it was a little too real.
Yeah.
But even then, where it's like, you know, I think she's an absolute delightful person. She's my happy ending.
Okay. I love that.
Very excited to announce what our last movie is for Spooktober.
Yeah.
It's yours.
Yeah, it is. We kind of gave a hint. We said that we didn't have enough of Keanu member.
Keanu Temper.
Okay. We are doing Bram Stoker's Dracula. I am so excited. It's going to be amazing.
Crossed oceans of time.
Keanu has publicly apologized.
Yes, he has. He apologized to us when we saw him at Dogstar. Thank you for coming to the show. Sorry about Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Sorry about that accent. Or lack thereof.
He looked at me, he's like, you understand, right?
Like, oh, you must listen.
Yeah, thank you for listening. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes 5 stars.
He's like, no.
Oh, Cora, I already did. I was anonymous.
I'm cool like that.
I can't wait.
It's going to be so much fun.
I love that movie, and I get to attack it, and I'm giddy.
And I've already started looking up trivia, and the trivia is pretty good.
I bet it is.
There's a little bit of conflict between two of the cast members.
Ooh, scandal. I love it. Mm-hmm. I already have my happy ending for it, and I'm very, very, very excited. It might be one of my best.
Ooh, I like.
Well, until then, I'm going to go drink this over.
Me too.
I can't sober up now. Probably die.
Yeah, let's go try that tequila that Jen gave.
Yes, let's do that.
Okay.
All right, bye, Katrina Porter.
Bye, Anna Serene.
Bye, everyone. Bye-bye.